cells without human intervention.
You're listening to Talk Sports.
They domesticate themselves. What does that mean?
Mice are able to tame themselves.
They're not like the dumpster rats that make you pay a toll when you go to throw your trash away.
Airing every day from
noon to 3.
I mean, because they all like to hang around there with their baseball bats and their leather jackets at night.
Yeah, you want to throw your trash bag in this dumpster? You're going to have to pay for it, buddy. 50 cents. That's 50 cents for you.
Sorry, Mr. Rat. I just wanted to get rid of my garbage.
50 cents, big boy. Where rats run this dumpster.
On 1340 WKGN.
Can I ask you why the rats are charging 50 cents?
Well, they need the coins, too. They got to pay for other things. They got to buy booze and hookers.
Strangers in the night. Hour 2 kicking off in the White Claw Hard Seltzer Studios. Hour 2 headlines. Draven.
Going to start with last night's game. DK Metcalf. He's just a big dude, ain't he? My goodness. That dude is just huge. He's dominating yesterday against the Eagles. And did you guys see his comments after the game? He was Jim Schwartz, defense coordinator for the Eagles. I thought he was just trying to give the DK a little compliment before the game. Told him he's got a ton of respect for him. And said he was with Calvin in Detroit, Calvin Johnson, Megatron. And he said he's the closest thing to Megatron he's seen. Jim did tell him after the game, you may not be Calvin, but you're on your way. And apparently this didn't sit well with DK, him saying that he was close to Megatron, not quite Megatron. And apparently DK took that to heart, and he tweeted out after the game. Did you guys see the Michael Jordan, I took that personally picture with, from the Jordan documentaries over the summer? So DK, getting a little hostile here. It felt like he didn't really say much, in my opinion. But, DK not putting up with that. What do you guys think? By the way, I mean, the comparison's got to be pretty good at this point, right? Is DK the closest thing we've seen to Megatron since Megatron, right? He's pretty good.
Calvin Johnson would have caught the ball in the end zone.
Oh, here we go. One play.
I mean, DK dropped it. I mean, we all saw it, right?
I saw it. I was there.
I don't think Megatron would have ran down Buda Baker or
Julio would have.
Maybe.
Julio hawks people. He loves hawking people down.
So let's see. First 27 NFL games. Calvin Johnson, 95 catches, 1,662 yards, 11 touchdowns. DK Metcalf, 116 catches, 1,939 yards, 16 touchdowns. AJ Brown, 92 catches, 1,689 yards, 16 touchdowns. I mean, I would say AJ Brown's numbers are basically right there with Calvin Johnson's. I mean, 95 to 92. 1662 to 1689, 16 touchdowns to 11 for A.J. Brown. I mean, A.J. Brown, I don't know.
We were talking about DK, not A.J. Brown.
Just saying, something to think about. 24 less catches, only, 240 less yards, same number of touchdowns. I mean,
you said in 27 games?
Yeah, for all three of them.
How many yards was the leading guy?
DK had 1939.
1939, okay. Yeah. Okay.
16 touchdowns for both.
I wish I had Julio's.
DK and AJ.
Isn't it crazy they both came from Ole Miss? Isn't that wild?
At the same time.
Yeah. Same draft class. That's pretty wild.
It's also funny that the Ravens took Hollywood Brown over both those guys.
No. The one that is worse is the Eagles taking J.J. Arcega-Whiteside over Metcalf.
Yeah.
That's a lot worse.
I thought you were going to say N'Keal Harry over DK and AJ Brown.
That's pretty brutal, too. DK, where's he ranked amongst receivers right now? He's got to be top five,
yeah,
right?
He's top five. Him, AJ Brown.
Putting AJ Brown top five too. AJ Brown's good. I think he's borderline. I think he's right there, around top 10.
I believe I saw that the quarterback has the highest pass rating when targeting him. I think it's 130, which is a little bit above what DK does for his quarterbacks.
Not bad.
I would say DK, AJ.
Hopkins.
I guess. I mean, they're not really. He's not really on the same level as those other two. But
what's your beef with Hopkins? I feel like
Am I taking crazy pills? Did he not just have another four catch for 60-yard game? Like that's all a guy does. And they don't have one big game, make one big catch, and everyone goes off crazy. But am I taking crazy pills? What is it? Why is everyone overrating DeAndre Hopkins? Because he's cool. He's got a cool nickname. Is it the Dreads?
He's made some pretty amazing catches. He can make his career.
He is as good as anybody that's making crazy catches. In traffic, he is probably the best. Like, does that mean he's the best receiver in the league, though? I don't ever see him do anything after the run. Does he ever catch the ball and run with it? Like, I don't know if I've ever seen that outside of the Cowboys game when he had an open slant. Like, does he ever run after the catch? That's a serious question. Like, does he ever do that? I don't feel like he does.
I mean, I'm sure he does.
I feel like he's all like 14-yard comebacks and like jump balls. But yeah, sure. Big 5 catch for 55-yard game, Hopkins. Way to follow up that 8 for 51 the week before. Best receiver in the league by far.
I didn't say best. You
guys did say best. You guys have been telling me he's the best receiver all year.
Yes.
I think he's up there. I think he's top three at the least.
I think Kyler's hurt.
I got those numbers reversed, by the way. Not 7 and 8. Those were his targets. 5 and 5. And then, like, I mean, yeah, sure, he had the Hail Mary catch to beat Buffalo. That 7 catches, 127 yards, which means that he would have had 6 catches for, like, 80 yards. The game before that against Miami, 3 catches, 30 yards. But sure, he is the best receiver in the league. Sure. Sure. I guess, guys.
I mean, the guy's been consistently getting 1,000 yards every year of his career, basically.
That's fun.
He's on pace for another 1,000 yards.
So is A.J. Brown, DK Metcalf.
Pretty good stats. 74% catch.
Everybody has bad games.
Yeah, that's fun.
I mean, A.J. Brown had that Colts game.
Yeah, no. 3 of his last 4 games, he's been under 55 yards, though. That's all I'm saying. But he did have that one Hail Mary, which is good. Like I said, Hopkins is, if there's one guy I want to go up and get the ball, it's him. Is that fair to say?
Yeah.
If it's a jump ball, go get it. I'll take him.
Best spectacular catch guy.
I'll take him to go do that.
Yeah.
But, like, if I need somebody on a drive to go win the game, I'm not taking him.
Who's the best receiver in the league? I want to know.
It's probably DK. I mean, I don't know.
I mean, deep ball wide receiver for sure because he's got the speed and he's got the length.
I mean,
he can take a hit, too.
Yeah. I mean, last night it was just something but 10-yard slants. They couldn't guard the 10-yard slant. Like, but, like, he does have a little bit of a problem with dropping balls, though.
Yeah.
Like, he dropped that touchdown last night. He does have a little bit of a problem with dropping balls.
I like when he drops it. He just acts like it's the worst thing ever.
It is the worst thing ever.
He drops it. He's like, he's just watching it. His hands are out. He's like, oh.
It is the worst thing ever.
Like, the worst, like, slow motion fall I've ever seen.
Now, like, I could probably say that DK's benefited a little bit from, you know, playing with Russell.
Yeah. AJ's got Tannehill.
He had Mariota for 6 games, though.
Yeah.
I mean, he did.
He did.
Pointing that out. He did have Mariota for 6 games. I think that's the difference in the 240 yards, just saying.
Yeah, I don't know about that.
AJ struggled for a little bit, like you said, against the Colts. I mean, he did, too. And I'm not saying AJ's the best receiver in the league. I just vehemently disagree with the whole DeAndre Hopkins is the best receiver in the league.
So, if the Titans get rid of Corey Davis next year, or he just leaves, do you think AJ gets better or worse?
I'd say he gets better. I'd say it'd be about the same.
Like, you need a number two.
Well, I mean, the offenses aren't all created equal. It's hard to just compare stats. Like, the offenses aren't all created equal just because, like, you know, in an offense where you're doing a whole lot of play action and doing a whole lot of running, like, AJ's not going to be the deep threat guy. He's going to be the 10-yard crossing guy, and then he's going to take it and go yak yards. But, like, I mean, I'd imagine Tennessee's going to be running that next year with or without Corey Davis. When Corey Davis leaves, they're not going to pay him. He's gone. He's going to end up in Indianapolis or end up in Jacksonville or Houston, because that's what happens. You go in your division. Like, he'll go there, and two of those teams have a lot of cap space and need receivers. So I wouldn't be surprised if Corey Davis goes there. But you'll draft a guy in the second or third round, and the receiving class is deep, and you'll put him in there and, you know, get similar production.
I heard this next wide receiver class is supposed to be better than the last draft.
It's just going to be that way every year, I think, just because passing game in college is getting so much better.
Speaking of
for the record, though, 3 of the last 4 games, you know, I said Hopkins had less than 55 yards. AJ only did that once, and it was the Colts game. Bad drops that game. Short rest, though.
Well, it was
short rest.
Big one down the field, man. That would have completely changed that game.
No, it was a terrible game. Yeah. It was a terrible game.
Hey, they got him back. They're good.
That's why he bounced back by running through the entire Ravens defense to win the game.
It's true.
Just wanted to point that out, though, since you want to talk about everybody's program. AJ has 3 games less than 55 yards. So, like, well, Hopkins has done the last four AJs of all year. Just one of them.
Not bad. Wait, he's a top 10 receiver. You agree,
Hayden? Top 5.
Top 10?
Top 5.
AJ Brown?
Top yep. 5 is a stretch.
DK AJ.
I mean, I'd say he's around.
What, 1 and 2? That's not your 1 and 2.
Just top 5.
But you're putting them both in the top
DK five. Might be, if DK might be number 1, though.
I think there's just so many wide receivers. Stephon Diggs is in there.
Yeah.
Stephon Diggs is having a really good year.
Yeah.
Number 2 in yardage, isn't he?
Yeah, it's good.
Robbie Anderson's been having a really good year. Yeah. I feel like that's a top 10 wide receiver.
I'm not taking any one of those above the two guys I just said from Ole Miss, though.
I guess we need to mention Julio Jones, too.
That's why I've been quiet over here.
Is he,
there's no question here.
A lot of games.
Yeah, what are we talking about? Is A.J. Brown, like, is Julio Jones playing? Or is he, like,
he has missed
hurt?
A
or, like,
hey, doesn't mean when he's on the field he's not the best player out there.
Well, that's fine, but a lot of people say the best ability is availability.
That's right.
Very true.
So, like, if you're only going to give me 10 games a year, like, I don't know if you're still the best. Is Julio still the most talented? Yeah, probably. But he's not on the field.
What about Tyreek?
Now, I never know what to do with
he's
Tyreek.
He's only had 1 year under 10 games.
Hey, would Tyreek under, like, be nearly
well,
as good?
This was
going to
be close, right? This was going to be close, like 12, right? I mean,
he's
like,
at 8 right now.
Okay. Did he play last week? Did he play against the Raiders?
He
or
did
no?
not. No, he didn't play against the Raiders. We didn't need him. You know, we gave him a week off for the Saints.
If you want to count the week against the Saints that he played, I mean, he played like a quarter. So, I mean, if you want to count that as a game played, that's fine. But, like, he was.
That's why we let him chill this week. Because we need him this next week. So
he's broken down.
Yeah. That's what happens.
Feet problems.
You hate to see it.
The least games he's ever played is 13. And that was his rookie year.
Nearly as good without Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes, right? I mean,
whenever it comes to judging players like that, what do? You look at just what they would be in that system or what they would be in any system? Because, I mean, I don't think DK would be good if you put him on the Jets. But, like, I think you could put him on most teams and he'd still be pretty good. But, like, yeah. Same as, like, Allen Robinson. Allen Robinson might be a top 10 receiver, but no one knows that because he's stuck with Mr. Trubisky.
Mm-hmm.
If you put Tyreek Hill, with Cam Newton, probably not going to be as good. If you put him, other places, probably not going to be as good as he is with Patrick Mahomes. But maybe Patrick Mahomes wouldn't be as special. Maybe that offense wouldn't be as special without him.
A.J. Brown is 28th in receiving yardage.
I'm not worried about receiving yards.
Corey Davis 29th.
Did you not
back
hear
to
me?
Back.
Did you not hear me just going that whole rant about statistics?
I know.
Fit?
I'm just saying.
I'm not going about yards.
Pretty.
I know.
Low.
When, I, know
low,
when I know when.
Kelsey's
double,
number three.
I know when double
yeah,
one.
Impressive. Is Hill two or one?
Hill's two.
And then who's?
Metcalf is one.
Yeah.
Beating Hill by about 20 yards, and that's pretty impressive since Hill had like 300 last week.
All I know is when number 11 gets the ball, chances are he's going to make a big play. You're not going to tackle him.
Robbie Anderson is pretty good, ain't he? Number 11. He is number 11, right?
Yeah. Robbie Anderson is pretty good. I'm not going to besmirch Robbie Anderson. He's pretty good.
Can I get the next headline real quick?
It's
while
your
we're
segment,
talking,
bro.
While we're talking about wide receivers. I know, we keep getting off topic.
Take
but,
control
of
your segment, bro.
But Will Fuller, man. Rough for Will Fuller.
Ask the Colts secondary, by the way.
About what? A.J. Brown?
Yeah. They couldn't catch him.
Colts just looked
twice.
Out of it.
They twice
just,
they couldn't catch
they didn't
him.
Look ready to
he
play.
Ran through him on a 10-yard pass once, and then he took a onside kick right back. They
couldn't
catch
whoa,
him.
Whoa. Colts couldn't stop A.J. Brown because he didn't have DeForest Buckner. Didn't you not know
that's
that?
That's true, yeah.
Did you not know that, John?
DeForest Buckner would have chased him down. That's
yeah,
right. My
exactly.
Bad. My fault.
Come on.
That's on me.
What'd you make of Will Fuller getting suspended?
Their best defensive back.
Bradley Roby.
Yeah.
Yep. So their best corner.
Two of their four best players have been cheating.
Who's this doctor? So basically a doctor medical professional.
Brian Cushing is who it is. When Brian Cushing was the Texans, he had nothing but steroids and nothing but HGH stuff. He's on their staff. That's
is
where,
he on the staff?
Yeah.
He's the assistant strength.
He's the assistant strength. He's pumping
strength.
Full of HGH.
Yeah. Cushing getting real strong.
Him. He did.
He's getting real strong in there.
That's crazy.
That guy got in trouble. He'd get hurt every year or get suspended for steroids every year. And now he's somehow coaching their strength, and now all of a sudden they have two players.
That makes perfect sense. Because Will Fuller, he basically said he had a doctor he trusted and shouldn't have trusted him. It's basically what he says.
Does that mean they're out for the rest of the year?
Six
they're
games.
They're 10 games,
so,
though,
so
right?
Yeah. They would be, they make the playoffs, but they're not.
Yeah, but my original thought was, well, that stinks because they play the Colts twice. They also play the Titans once, so I guess if the Titans get to benefit from it in week 17, I guess I won't be that mad about it, but sucks for my fantasy team. I didn't realize that. Damn it, I got Will Fuller.
Sucks for
you
Will Fuller.
You wouldn't
it's
have beat me
agent.
Last week without him.
I know.
I was going to beat you. The 1-19 was coming for you right there.
I had
they
a bad
were
week.
Coming for you.
I had a bad week across all my leagues. Good point by Wes, though. We didn't mention Davante Adams. Yeah, Davante
Ooh,
Adams.
Yeah, yeah. That's definitely top three. Yeah.
Davante Adams, top 5.
top three.
Well, top five can be number one or number two or number three.
Okay.
I like to just leave a little room for error.
Okay.
In case we forget somebody, like we forgot Devontae Adams. Great point by Wes, but I would say that Devontae Adams probably brings up the similar point of, would he be as good without Aaron Rodgers?
Then again,
if I put Devontae Adams on the Bears, would he not look a lot like Allen Robinson?
Probably. But then again, the Packers have no other good weapons, really. So I think that kind of makes in the argument for Devontae Adams.
I know. It's just hard. I'm saying stats and like things like that. Because like I said, if you put Devontae Adams or any of those receivers, you put DK Metcalf with Mitch Trubisky, probably going to look the same. That's what makes it tough. All right, go back to headlines. Stick with us. Let's talk sports on Fan Run Radio. We still haven't really talked about last night's game.
Yeah.
What do you do if you're the Eagles? Have you guys noticed, like, during the telecast, like, these commentators are just so reluctant? Like, I've never noticed it this badly, but it seems as if they are so reluctant to criticize quarterback play this year. Between, like, Tony Romo defending Tom Brady nonstop. And everyone defending Tom Brady nonstop.
Well, Tony Romo was really, like, at the end of the game, was just kept talking about how great they looked. I was like, what?
I don't know if that's because, like, he just wants to keep relationships and he respects Brady. And, like, because I heard him on a podcast, too, just basically like, yeah, it's not Brady. It's basically the receivers are on the same page when it comes to, like, picking up blitz packages. And, like, Brady's not comfortable in this new system because the receivers and Brady aren't on the same page.
It's been 12 weeks.
But it's like in New England, everybody knew exactly what to do at all times. And here in Tampa Bay, they don't. And that's why you see like just some mix-ups down the field, mix-ups off blitzes and stuff like that. So I don't know. He says they'll get it fixed by the playoffs. They better do it in a hurry.
Yeah.
But like even last night, like it's one thing to defend Tom Brady. To me, it's another thing to be caping and defending Carson Wentz incessantly. Like, Brian Greasy, like, there's no reason to make a change. Louis Riddick, who I had a lot of respect for, just doing everything he can to not criticize. Not criticize Carson Wentz. Who looked awful. Who has looked awful all year.
Mm-hmm.
And I get that Alshon Jeffrey sucks. I get that. I get that, for some reason, Doug Peterson refuses to run the ball.
Yep.
Like, I don't know why he won't give the ball to Miles Sanders, but he won't give the ball to Miles Sanders, and that maybe Miles Sanders sucks too. I don't know. But, like, I understand those things, but, like, Carson Wentz also just looks terrible.
Mm-hmm.
And I do think the best pass of the night was the Jalen Hurts 5-yard out pout. That's the most competent a Eagles quarterback has looked all year. Just a nice timing, frozen rope out pass.
The Eagles, they dug them this hole. For themselves. They dug this hole. They didn't draft the right receivers like we talked about, Arkea Whiteside. They draft Jalen Reagor when Justin Jefferson is still on the board. And we've seen what Justin Jefferson's doing over in Minnesota looks pretty good.
Yep.
Why is that, like, do we just have an SEC bias because, like, I thought Justin Jefferson was the best receiver in the draft last year.
Yep.
Like, I don't know if it's because I watched more LSU than anybody. Who'd I miss? Like,
I thought CeeDee Lamb was the best receiver.
That's fine. Was there another one, too?
I mean, you had the Alabama receivers.
Okay, yeah. Between Ruggs and there was another one, right?
Ruggs and Judy.
Okay, I thought Judy was the best receiver in the draft. But I thought Jefferson was like number two or number three.
Yeah.
I guess what I meant to say is I thought Jefferson was the best. I thought he was closer to the top three than he was to everyone else, and somehow other people kept getting drafted ahead of him.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, maybe he wasn't as good as those big three, like of Judy, Ruggs,
and Lamb.
But I probably would have taken him over Ruggs, to be honest.
Yeah, I think that's.
I just thought Ruggs was a burner. I thought Jefferson was more of a legit like NFL receiver. But either way, you had the Eagles take Jalen Reagor over him, and I'm just like, did you watch any college football last year? Like same like going back. I mean, like to the conversation about AJ Brown and DK Metcalf. Like it might be SEC bias again, and I know Ole Miss wasn't very good that year, but like I'm going to trust those guys over N'Keal Harry.
Yeah.
Like, DK Metcalf, like, is a monster.
How do you see the picture of DK Metcalf of him?
You can't teach athleticism and size like that.
Well,
like,
not only that, but, like, look back at that picture.
Yeah.
Look at that picture of DK Metcalf standing next to A.J. Brown. A.J. Brown don't look small either.
Yeah. They both look like tanks.
Like, it's not one of those situations where it's, like, the picture of Derrick Henry standing next to Mark Ingram.
Mm-hmm.
And you're like, these are two different levels of human. Like, yeah, don't get me wrong, DK Metcalf, a monster, but AJ Brown looked every bit as impressive, like, for a wide receiver. I'm like, that's a monster too. And unsurprisingly, people can't tackle him in the NFL because he is also a monster. But, like, I don't know if this is, like, SEC bias of, like, hey, just take the good receivers from that league who play against the best defensive backs.
Yeah.
But, like, I don't think there's any coincidence that 2 years ago, the best two receivers are two guys from the SEC, DK Metcalf and AJ Brown. And this year, so far, the best receivers, Justin Jefferson. Guys that performed in the toughest conference. And I don't want to sound like an SEC shill, but, like, hey, the proof is kind of in the pudding. You can keep trying to take Arizona State wide receivers if you want to, I guess. But what do you do with Carson Wentz? Because they keep saying adamantly that he is giving them their best chance to win, but, like, you're not winning. It's the same thing here in Knoxville. Like, you keep saying this, the quarterback gives you the best chance to win, but don't you have to win for that to be true?
Yeah, you would think.
Like, at least every now and then. Like, the Eagles are 3-7-1. They are officially in third place. They are in trouble when it comes to this division.
And like you said, he's missing wide-open wide receivers. Yep. I mean, there was times where he would just look at his first read and it was just like panic mode. He'd just panic and get sacked. It's like, what is he doing?
Gallus Goedert was wide open down the field a couple of times. It should have been for touchdowns, and Wentz would underthrow him, and it would probably get him a pass interference, but, like, they were missing touchdowns. Mm-hmm. And the interception he threw, like, you know, with 8 minutes left in the game, was about as bad as it gets. And I'm just like, I don't know if Jalen Hurts is any good, but, like, if you draft him in the second round, you need to give it a try. And maybe he's not going to be good. And guess what? You should do what Draven said earlier, which is admit you're wrong and still think about needing a quarterback of the future. Because the Eagles, they have their first-round pick this year, right?
Yeah, they should.
I mean, they haven't traded, right?
No.
They should have it?
Mm-hmm.
Right now, they're projected to pick 8th. If Jalen Hurts ain't it, you're going to need a quarterback. So you might as well find out if Jalen Hurts has got it, because Carson Wentz ain't winning this division. He looks broken. He looks like his brain got scrambled when that, you know, when from hits, from all the sacks. Like, he looks like he's dealing with a brain injury.
You think they jumped the gun too early on paying him? Because they paid him. They paid him pretty good as well.
I think it goes back to what I've said for a while of, like, I'm not paying big money to a lot of these quarterbacks.
At least until you know for sure. Like,
if I'm an offensive coach, if I'm supposed to be a mastermind like Doug Peterson was and Sean McVay was, like, I'm not giving you that big money. Sorry. Like, I'm not hamstringing my team and going to be paying you $35 million whenever you are below average. And I think right now Carson Wentz is below average. Jared Goff is probably smack dab right there average.
Yeah.
But Carson Wentz right now is below average. The hell are they doing? Right now, the top two teams in the draft set up to win the field sweepstakes are, or the field and Lawrence sweepstakes are, Jacksonville at number 2 and Trevor Lawrence number 1. Do you think that's where those quarterbacks end up?
Or the Jets number 1?
Yeah. Jets number 1, Jags number 2.
Yeah, I would think so.
You think both of those quarterbacks just get drafted? It's that simple.
One, if there's no trades or anything, it's they're taking them there.
Where does Sam Darnold go, though? I don't know what the Jets are going to
do. I think you trade him for somebody or for some other assets.
I do think there's a little bit of belief, which, by the way, I'm certain to sell Sam Darnold. I think he is pretty bad. The interception he threw this past week, I don't know if you guys saw, right to a defender.
I think at this point, when you combine his production with his contract, because, I mean, he should be heading into year 4, right, of a rookie deal. Is that right, the year 4?
Yeah,
because Baker Mayfield's heading into year 4 next year. Yeah. He's year 3. So, when you're heading into year 4, like, that's the last of your cheap rookie deal. You're probably not getting a lot for Darnold. Now, I am trading him, but, like, you're probably not going to be able to get, like, a 4th or 5th round pick at this point because he just looks so bad.
Yeah.
And he's not going to be cheap except for 1 year. But if I'm the Eagles or if I'm the Lions or if I'm the
So would you still trade him as he would be, like, thinking he would be your starter, thinking he'd be at least your, maybe not your quarterback of the future, but your quarterback for at least a couple years, right?
If I'm a team, if I'm the Lions, what do you have to lose?
Yeah,
you trade a conditional pick or a 5th round pick, whatever. You let him play for a year, you move on from Stafford and like you see if you can find a good young quarterback. You can still draft one and see what happens.
Yeah, and just have a vet, or I guess he's considered a vet, to kind of teach him a little bit and have a placeholder.
Like if I'm the Colts, like I probably feel like, hey, I could a year older Phil Rivers or Sam Darnold, like I could probably fix. Like, you know, and also, you know, Frank Reich's going to be in Indianapolis next year. Like he might want Carson Wentz.
That would be interesting.
That was his boy, you know, in Philadelphia. That was the best. That was whenever he was at his best. Like maybe they just get Carson Wentz.
Yep.
Maybe Dak Prescott's going to be on the move too, though. Like, you know, like there's a chance that Dak Prescott could, if the Cowboys finish the top, where are they at right now?
Fourth pick in the draft.
So not high enough to get Lawrence or Fields.
Trey Lance.
Probably too high to get Trey Lance.
Do not get Trey Lance.
Zach Wilson.
Zach Wilson in Dallas would be funny. I don't know why. Like, maybe Dak Prescott gets traded somewhere. I saw rumors that he could. There's rumors in Detroit that Dak Prescott could be targeted and they would want to hire Dan Mullen to coach them.
Don't do that.
To reunite Dak and Dan Mullen. I think that'd be good for Dak.
No, don't let Dak's career go die in Detroit like Stafford's did, like every quarterback has. No. No. That's no. If we're going to send him off, send him off somewhere good, man. Come on.
To where?
I don't know. He'd be better off with the Jets. The Lions have been the most dysfunctional. Didn't we say that earlier this week or last week?
They have had the least amount of success of any franchise.
Yes.
In the NFL.
So, no. No, thank you.
What about Dak Prescott to the Jaguars? Swap the number 4 and number 2 pick. You guys get Justin Fields. Dak Prescott goes to Jacksonville, where they have a lot of money to pay him. They want a star. I would imagine Dak Prescott's still going to be a bigger star than Justin Fields next year.
Yep.
So you can maybe sell some tickets if we're back in there. Dak helps you win more games.
I just don't know how good Justin Fields is.
I just wonder what the Cowboys are thinking.
Yeah, I don't know.
I don't know.
Because I mean, it's hard for the Cowboys to – if I'm the Cowboys, it's going to be hard for me to pay Dak Prescott. Maybe they just do a franchise tag, but like that's going to be scary too. There's a couple of veteran quarterbacks – It happened last year, too, where some guys got shuffled around, moved around. There's a chance that happens again this year with Wentz. Because, I mean, I imagine this is Wentz's last year. Whether or not he gets to finish the year in Philadelphia as a starter is yet to be seen. But if I'm Philadelphia, I'm trying to get rid of him this offseason, if possible. Maybe it won't be possible. Maybe there's just too much money there. Like, they're tied to him. But I just bite the bullet and move on. Because, like, I tweeted out last night, but it's 100% accurate. The Philadelphia is very lucky there are no fans in the stands this year because those boys would have been on Carson's neck.
Oh, man.
Those boys would have been on Carson's neck booing him every time he touches the ball like they booed Kobe Bryant when he would come back to Philadelphia. Like LeBron would get booed in Cleveland whenever he touched the ball. That's how they would be booing Carson Wentz, every drop back, every skip pass, every sack, every fumble. They're lucky that they aren't playing in front of fans.
I think Doug Peterson better be lucky that he won a Super Bowl because if it
I don't think he's safe. It goes back to what I said last segment, I think, or Tuesday. Whenever I talked about the primetime games, like keep in mind the Eagles got embarrassed on primetime again.
Yep.
They've been on primetime a lot this year looking stinky. That Thursday night game they eked one out against the Giants wasn't necessarily appealing. Their win against the Cowboys that Sunday night wasn't exactly appealing. And then last night you get embarrassed. It just hits different when you're the only game on and everyone's watching. And like you're the lead story the next day. So I don't think Doug Peterson is necessarily safe. I think Doug Peterson right now, if you ask people, Doug Peterson is in the lead in terms of who is the dumbest coach to ever win a Super Bowl. I think he's hit the point now where he's went from genius to... This guy? How did this guy win a Super Bowl?
With Nick Foles as his quarterback.
If I'm Bill Belichick, like, I'm questioning everything. Like, I think that should be paragraph number 2 or 3 on Bill Belichick's, like, Hall of Fame resume.
Yeah.
Somehow lost a Super Bowl to Doug Peterson and Nick Foles. I don't know. Like, Matt Patricia, how did he get a head coaching job? Wasn't he the coordinator of that defense that let Nick Foles drop, you know, 50 points on them? or 500 yards, however much it was.
Yep.
Like, and you gave that guy a job? A head coaching job? What are you doing, Detroit?
They're a mess.
And if I'm Bill Belichick, I'm questioning everything. I'm giving back two of my rings.
It is kind of crazy. It doesn't make any sense.
It makes zero sense. And if I'm Brady, that would have been the point I wanted. I was like, you let Nick. No wonder he didn't shake Nick Foles' hand. He's like, really?
After I threw for, didn't he throw for 500 yards?
Brady threw for 500 yards. Yes, Brady threw for 500 yards.
Still lost.
Really? Really, Bill? This guy? And Doug Peterson, man, looks stupid too. So I don't think he's safe at all. I think he could be on the way out.
Kind of feels like Carson Wentz is getting the kind of the scapegoat treatment, isn't it?
No, Carson Wentz stinks. No, Carson Wentz sucks. He's bad.
But look at the Jets situation. It's almost like we all still kind of think like, hey, Sam Darnold might not be bad. It's just Adam Gase holding him down.
Oh, well,
this situation's
well,
not the same.
That's fine. Carson Wentz, like I said, I think he has a chance of being one of those guys you take a flyer on. Like he could, at the very worst, Carson Wentz will get a chance to be Ryan Tannehill.
Yeah, like we've seen him at his like when he's at his best, he's really good. Where he was,
yeah, I was gonna say that's 2017 seems a long time ago.
It does.
He's had a lot of injuries and a lot of hits since then. Mm-hmm. So like I think it might be time to let go of 2017 where he was maybe league MVP. But like, Carson Wentz ain't like gonna be out of the league, so he'll be like Sam Darnold from that statement. He's just gonna be more expensive, so he might have to get cut and like get signed as a backup or do something like that. But like Tannehill is the same way. It works out. If you're good, you'll get a chance, especially if you're pick and choose and you get in the right situation. Like, if Carson Wentz is a backup behind a questionable starter, he'll get a chance. If Carson Wentz was backing up this year's Carson Wentz, he'd be in by now. Yep. Chances are he'd still be Carson Wentz, but still, he'd be getting a shot to unseat this year's version of Carson Wentz. Same as Darnold. Like, he might have to go somewhere and back up. Like, trade him to Tampa. Yeah, Josh Rosen, you stink. Okay, Darnold, you're our new backup. If I'm the Saints, I'm calling for Darnold. Like, hey, Taysom Hill ain't going to be our quarterback of the future, so like, let's try to turn Darnold around.
I don't think that's what they think, though. I don't think they really do think Taysom Hill is their guy.
I think they're real. Like, we'll see.
Yeah.
Over the next couple weeks, but like, I think they know that like he's probably not going to be the quarterback of the future. Some NFL news, especially for Titans. Miles Garrett activated from the COVID list. He's ready to go on Sunday, which is pretty scary because he's the best defender in the league this year. And our offensive line's banged up, but they did well against the Colts. So hopefully they can block Miles Garrett, which is going to be really tough. But the Browns are banged up too, so it evens out. Their secondary is in shambles. So top five wide receiver A.J. Brown will just have to get loose. Stick with us. It's Talk Sports on Fan Run Radio. It's kind of wild looking at these NFL stats and seeing there's only I guess there's five guys basically at the doorstep of 1,000 yards with over 960 yards. DK Metcalf leading the way, 1,039. Number two, Tyreek Hill, 1,021, who came in I think with 750 last to this game on Sunday. And third place, Travis Kelce. So the Chiefs have two guys basically with 1,000 yards.
That's crazy.
Tyreek has 1,021. Travis Kelce has 978. That's probably – when we talk about best 1-2 punches, I don't think we talk about them enough in terms – we look at receivers, but like Travis Kelce is probably a top 10 receiver himself.
Yeah, pretty much.
I mean, when you really think about it, he's probably a top 10 receiver, right?
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. Especially just the way he like helps Mahomes out when he's scrambling and stuff, just knowing where to go to get open.
What do we make of the Chiefs?
I think they're still a problem, but
I know they're a problem, but like, what do we think about them? Like, do you feel like they are the clear cut favorite? Do you feel like they're just like unbeatable? Do you feel like they're susceptible because the Bucs did, you know, keep them to 10 points over the last three quarters? Although it did feel like the Chiefs kind of did what they always do, which is kind of take their foot off the gas and kind of just start messing around. Then like, okay, now we need a first down. Okay, let's go get the first down. How do you feel about them? Are they winning the championship this year? If I give you the Chiefs versus the field, who are you taking?
Chiefs.
I'm probably going Chiefs, but they have shown to be beatable, I think.
So you're all three?
I think so.
Who's going to beat them? I don't know who's going to beat them.
Notice I said the field. The field includes 31 other teams. No. Not the Jets.
But I mean,
or Lions.
Jags are officially removed from the playoffs.
Yeah, not them.
Mm-hmm.
Not those guys, but the field, the other playoff teams. And I'm not saying I would take the field either. I'm just saying, like, that's – I don't have the answer as who beats them, Draven, but, like, they have to win – they'll have to win three games.
From an odds perspective, I think you have to take the field, but I don't know a team I would feel comfortable taking over them.
I don't think Pittsburgh can beat them.
No.
And I don't think Tennessee can beat them. So they're going to be in the Super Bowl.
If you just run through the AFC, you don't think those teams could beat them? No. Just keep in mind, they're 2 weeks away from – they're 2 weeks removed from being down to Las Vegas.
Couldn't be me. Oof.
I mean, they could just have a horrific game, but I don't think it's going to happen in the playoffs.
Well, that's the thing. Is like if you, you know, you're not going to be able to sneak up on them in the playoffs. Yeah. Mm-hmm. You're going to get their best shot. But, I mean, like, even last year, they were on the ropes three times. Now, you could say, well, yeah, they're on the ropes, so they fought their way off. Like, they're out 24-0 to Houston. And, yeah, they came back and won that pretty easily. They're down double digits to the Titans, too. Yeah, they came back and won that pretty easily. And they were down double digits to the 49ers, and I think should have lost that game.
Yeah.
I still don't know how the 49ers gave up that 3rd-and-15. How they let Tyreek Hill just get so far behind the defense. And I don't know how Garoppolo missed that open touchdown at the end of the game. Overthrew. Was it Sanders? Sanders he overthrew? I don't know. But, like, had the open receiver behind the defense and overthrew him. If you look at FanDuel right now, they're plus 280 to win it all. So they're not, like, heavy favorites. Or it's not like they're, you know, you're still getting almost 3-1 odds on them to win.
Mm-hmm.
So I think the smart money would be on the field. But I don't know if you could pick who that is. Second best odds, the Saints at plus 550. Could the Saints beat them?
I don't know. I feel like the blueprint for beating the Chiefs in the playoffs is exactly what the 49ers had last year. Being able to run the ball, keep the ball away from Mahomes, and having a pretty solid defense with a good pass rush. And they didn't beat them, which they probably should have, like you said, with that 3rd-and-15 play. But I don't see the Saints being able to run the ball like that on them. Yeah. And I think Drew Brees, Taysom Hill, just not good enough to beat them on offense.
I'm just looking at the Saints. Like, they check the box of, like, they have one of the best pass rushers in the league.
Yeah, they have good defense.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I don't know if they have the secondary that can keep up with, like, Tyreek Hill and Kelsey. Like,
if it's still Taysom Hill, I don't think they can.
Yeah, no, I don't think it can be Taysom
Hill. I honestly
Hill.
Don't think Brees is coming back. I don't know.
Well, if it's Taysom Hill, then I don't think they have a chance either. Because you are going to be able to pass the ball.
Yeah.
To beat them. The Steelers have the 3rd best odds. I mean, they have the defense. They might have the home game. They have the pass rush. And I don't know if they have the run game. But the way they pass the ball is basically a run game with their 3-yard, 4-yard passes. I mean, they dink and dunk down the field. They try to protect the ball. But Big Ben is on that list of quarterbacks that I need to see how he gets how he plays the longer the season goes, right?
Yep.
Exactly.
How that body gets whenever it gets cold. Seahawks don't have the defense, but could they keep up with them in a shootout?
Keep up with them, yeah. But I think the Chiefs, I trust the Chiefs' defense, I think, to get that last stop they would need to win the game.
Yeah.
More than
Kansas
the Seahawks.
City's defense is not as bad as Seattle's. Although Seattle's defense has been playing better since Carlos Dunlap, but they also got to play a terrible Eagles offensive
I think Dunlap
offense.
Just got hurt, too.
Did he?
Yeah.
Seahawks have the 4th best odds. The Packers have the 5th best odds. I don't know. We saw the Bucks. Although the Bucks probably feel like if they had another 10 minutes of that game, they would have won.
I think the Chiefs just let off the gas in that game. I think the Chiefs could have beat them worse. I mean, they should have been up 24-0, shouldn't they?
Yeah.
Didn't they?
Yeah. Yep.
So, I don't know. I probably still lean the field. I'm not at the point where it feels hopeless right now, but it also feels like it's It's basically just we're transitioning from the Patriots dynasty to the Chiefs is what it feels like right now, where it's just like, how do you beat these guys? Can you beat them in the playoffs? And every now and then the Patriots would lose, but every year it was just like, is it going to be the Patriots in the AFC or somebody else? Right?
Yeah.
That was a conversation for so long.
Yep.
Feels like we're probably transitioning to that with the Chiefs. Although if the Titans figure out that pass rush.
The Titans might have a good chance. They got the offense to keep up with them.
They got the running game.
Yeah, yep.
Running game.
And I think you do need to hit big plays over the top, too.
And I think, and honestly, I mean, I think that the home field advantage last year in the playoffs really helped Kansas City. Mm-hmm. I mean, yeah, it was cold, but also, like, it was loud. That was a hungry fan base that hadn't won a championship in a long time that wanted a championship. And I think the Titans got a little rattled by that whenever things
against
started
Houston,
going on.
Too, I feel like.
Houston got rattled?
Yeah, I mean,
Their fans didn't, like, buckle when they were down 24-0. They stayed loud. Like, they had that confidence that you all great teams have. That, like, the Warriors had it when they had Steph Curry and, like, we're clicking with Durant. Like, they could be down 10 points with, you know, 4 minutes left, and they're like, okay, time to go. Mm-hmm. And the next thing you know, they hit three threes, and the game is tied. And you're like, what the hell just happened? We had the lead. We had a 10-point lead a minute and a half ago. Now we're down 4 points. Like, the Chiefs have that invincibility about them. Alabama has it. Every great team has it where you're just like, we can't finish these guys. But it's going to take a team with a good pass rush that can also score, and those are just not a lot of those. Like, I do think it's like, it would take Clowney being very good. Just feels, I guess it has to be the Steelers as the best chance just because they have the best defense. But
I don't. The Steelers still feel so overrated. Like, they still feel overrated.
I don't think of them at all, really.
Yeah.
We'll do our power rankings next. Let's talk sports on Fan Run Radio.
Your pet is an important part of your family, and when he or she,
I believe I requested power rankings. Aiden, power rankings.
Sorry.
Sometimes I wonder what goes on through your head.
I was thinking about this stupid Indiana game.
Well, we're doing a radio show here.
All right, Rick. I've got the power! The power lies on their side.
Go, go, power! Rankings! Go, go, power! Rankings! Go, go, power! Rankings! Rankings. All right, let's hit our post week 12 NFL power rankings. We never got around to it last week. We were going to do it Wednesday, and then we didn't get to the show on Wednesday. So give me your Week 11 power rankings and your Week 12 power rankings, please.
My Week 11 power rankings at number 5, I had that one team with that quarterback. They did good.
Yeah. Probably the Rams.
Yeah.
The Rams
at the time.
Probably were there last week. Not this week, but last week. All right, just give me your Week 12 power rankings.
My Week 12 power rankings at number 5, I have the Seattle Seahawks. I was a little conflicted about who to put at 5. But I decided to go with the Seahawks because I think they have the best quarterback of all the teams kind of jumbled right around in there. So I'm going to give them the edge on that front. Sloppy game last night, but they got it done. A win's a win. And at 8-3, I just had to give them their credit and put them at number 5 in my power rankings. Number 4 in my power rankings, I went with the New Orleans Saints. They would be higher. You know, like, they've won 7 or 8 in a row at this point. I would have him a little higher if I didn't. I'm worried about Breeze coming back. I don't think Breeze is going to come back, so that concerns me, and that kind of lowers their potential as a team, in my opinion. Even though Breeze wasn't anything crazy, I don't think Taysom has enough to, you know, make a long playoff run or anything like that. So I have him at number 4 in my rankings. Number 3, I have the Tennessee Titans. Give him their credit.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Giving y'all your credit.
It's the highest we've been in Cam's power rankings.
Yeah, when I look at the teams that I kind of think can, like, win a championship or, you know, compete, I think they are a little bit better than Taysom Hill Saints or the Seattle Seahawks with no secondary or the Packers with, you know, the Packers. You never really know. They're very inconsistent.
You listen to this?
So I had to give the Titans their credit. Big win against the Colts this past week. It's that time of the year that Derrick Henry likes to go off. So I think they'll keep cruising for a while. And
there are people.
They'll be competitive.
There were a lot of people. Some maybe in this room that tried to say that Ezekiel Elliott was better than Derrick Henry. Do you remember those people?
Oof. I have faint memories of that.
I would say that take has been fumbled. That was a fumbled take.
Feed.
Since I saw that tattoo, I should have known.
I should have known
it was going to be a rough year.
There were people that tried to tell you Ezekiel Elliott was better than Derrick Henry.
Oof, 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 oof. But yeah, I got Titans number three.
Whoever said that.
Go ahead, number two.
That's funny. Number two, I went with the Kansas City Chiefs. They're just, you know, doing their thing, rolling, getting their wins, whatever it takes. They're hanging in there. Doing their thing, and I mean, they're still the Chiefs. There's not really much more you really need to say about them. Tyreek Hill looks good. Patrick Mahomes always looks good. The Chiefs are going to be there at the end. They're a problem. My number one, I went with the Steelers, just giving them their credit for being undefeated. I'm going to stick them there at number one. It was supposed to be a big game with Lamar and the Ravens this week, but I don't think they'll have any issues with RG3, so I'm expecting him to continue and cruise to 11-0 and keep it moving.
For me, I went with the at number five. I went with the Green Bay Packers.
Okay.
Apparently, Charles Davis said in his MVP circles, because he's an MVP voter, said that there are three names that keep popping up as far as MVP consideration: Patrick Mahomes, Derrick Henry, and Aaron Rodgers. So, says Aaron Rodgers playing at an MVP level. He's probably the quarterback you're going to trust at least the most or second most in the playoffs. I don't know. Depends where that game is between them and the Seahawks. If it's in Green Bay, I'll trust Rodgers. If it's in Seattle, I'll probably trust Wilson. But, you know, that Packers team beat them last year. So, for now, they are my number five team. They made a pretty good Bears defense look silly on Sunday. Now, you could ask how much that defense has given up since their offense can't do anything. It's hard to play elite defense when you can't rely on your offense to help you at all. So maybe the defense has given up. But I'll give the Packers the number five nod. I do think they still need to shore up that that run defense. Packers can't stop the run. They even let Montgomery have a long run. And that guy hasn't been good ever.
Nope.
David Montgomery even took a 55-yard run on them. Had to be his career long. The only good run he's ever had in his entire career. Number four, I put the Titans.
A little low?
Maybe. I put the Saints at number three ahead of them because I do think Breeze can still come back. But also, like, credit to the Saints, man. Their defense is really good, and their pass rush is really good. And I think the way their schedule's set up, they're probably going to finish at least 13-3. Number two, Pittsburgh. Number one, the Chiefs. Holding it down. No surprise there. My number one and number two, I feel like, has been pretty much the same. Or the Saints, at least having all three of those in the top three, that they feel like the three best teams right now. Four and five keep changing. Nice of the Titans to bounce back. Proud of you guys. Let's keep it running against Cleveland. Let's keep moving. Hour two in the books, hour three on deck.
Hey, folks.